Hey everybody, this is Emery. I'm here with Mike Deeth, and we're here for another episode of the 12 Minute Dog Podcast.
Hey, you know what? We're actually sitting in the same room together.
Woohoo!
So, do you realize that we have three different calendar years on this podcast? Barely. Wow.
That is like, exciting.
You know, so I guess we have three seasons at this point. Mm-hmm. Kind of, sort of, maybe.
Yeah, we started late 2019.
A new year. Mm-hmm. So what are we going to talk about today?
Well, I thought we'd talk about the benefit and use of toys in training and enrichment.
I think that's an awesome idea because it falls right into the entire idea of positive reinforcement, enrichment, helping with boredom and anxiety and rewarding good behaviors and ignoring bad behaviors. I love that topic.
Yeah, and I love treats, so this falls right into my genre too. So, well, tell me, Mike, you use treats when you train. So
I do. And in fact, you all heard me. I'm not going to go into it again of the entire idea of hand feeding, but it's resource control. And I always joke with folks that, you know, why do we pay for a teenager's cell phone? Well, because if they make us mad, we can take cell phone away. It's resource control.
That's right.
Same way as a boss, you know, paying us a wage for a job. If we don't do the job, we don't get the wage. So I love using food and the idea of motivating a person, an animal, a spouse, an employee, whatever, as a way to say, if you do it right, there's a reward involved. Mm-hmm. Now, I think what we're going to talk about is how can we use toys to maybe turbocharge that idea or to help counter condition scary things into being not scary things or things that produce anxiety that we might be able to help with.
Yep, that's a great idea. So there are a lot of good toys out there that help with enrichment, that help with boredom. What do you recommend, Mike? What do you like out there?
You know, we can, you know, Kongs. Okay, I'm just going to say it. The entire line of Kong toys. You know, they can be filled with all sorts of stuff. The one thing I will tell you, you know, the Kong is the red or black, looks like an upside down beehive.
Yep, the black ones are for super chewers.
Right, and the red ones are standard. I like using dog food mixed with some kind of binding agent. And the binding agents could be peanut butter, plain yogurt, applesauce, pumpkin. Yeah, I will say, I think all dogs are somewhat lactose intolerant. So if you're going to use plain yogurt, lots of dogs like it, but you've got to test some of these things so that if it does tear up their gut, we're going to try something else.
Yeah.
And it's very important that it is 80% dog food and 20% binding agent. It seems like everybody wants to use way too much peanut butter, way too much yogurt, and it just turns into an entire mess. The idea would be just enough binding agent to get all the pieces connected by a gooey substance, which makes it a little challenging for the dog to get the stuff out.
Yep.
And when the dogs start really getting good at this, then we can start freezing the Kongs and turn them into Kongsicles, and that takes even longer, so the dog with anxiety has to work longer, get a full tummy, work a little bit, maybe want to take a nap when they're done. So, but yeah, Kong, but there's a ton of these products out there.
There are. Yeah, we carry several of them in our store that if the dog's rolling around, things will pop out every once in a while.
Yep. I know that I've seen one called the Buster Cube, which is a square. The one that you carry is called?
We've got the Orbi Tough. That's a pretty cool one. It's got like a maze inside, so it rolls around.
Yep.
And then we have these two different sizes of them for dogs and cats. And I can't think of the name of it right now, but I'll get it for you in a minute.
Okay. Well, I mean, the one thing I would say is we need to make sure that we understand that the idea is just to keep them busy. When we're dealing with potty training, when we're dealing with alone time with a puppy, my mom used to always joke that idle hands are the devil's play toy. And anytime you don't know where your puppy is, the chances of something bad happening in your house have gone up exponentially. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times, you know, I always tell people, if you can't mentally manage the puppy needs to be in a crate, the puppy needs to be on a leash, this, that, or the other thing. But most people don't think about this idea of interactive feeding toys as a way to, let me put you right in the middle of the living room floor while we're watching TV and give you a frozen Kong and keep you busy. Or on top of that, instead of being silly and putting the dog in the middle of the living room floor, why don't we just say the only time you ever get a Kong is when you're in your crate, so that the dog associates, ooh, that's my special crate toy. Mm-hmm. And I'll run right into the crate every single time I see you grab it out of the freezer. Right. And most people laugh at me, but literally it doesn't take long for a dog to figure this out.
Yeah, that's great. That also makes it to where it's not punishment.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's awesome.
You know, and the other thing I would tell you, we're talking about just a very small number of, you know, toys that we're talking about.
Right.
But if you went to Google right now and just typed in interactive dog feeding toys, mm-hmm. you'd be blown away. Yeah. I know that there's a lot of shelters that will even just use toilet paper rolls, you know, the thing that's left when you're done with all the toilet paper, and they will just pinch down the two ends and fill them with dog food and peanut butter and let the dog tear up the cardboard to get to the treat. One cool idea that I just thought of, you get dogs who like to dig in the backyard. Well, one of the smartest things you can do, and this is kind of a giant interactive feeding toy, is to make your dog a dig box.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll just use some landscape timbers. I've seen people even use plastic pools that they just set down into the ground to where they're flush with the ground. Mm-hmm. And we fill it with sand, and then you bury milk bones in there. And you teach the dog, don't dig in my yard. I'll fill your treasure chest. You can put Kongs in paper sacks, you know, and, you know, bury them in the sand. And now the dog knows, hey, I'm going to go dig and get my dig on. And then they can kind of use a typical dog behavior without tearing up your entire landscaping. So
there's another idea. The IQ treat ball is what the other one that we carry.
There you go.
But like you said, there are so many of them out there. The one thing I would say about what you said, just as a caveat, peanut butter, some peanut butter does have xylitol, and some yogurt does too. So just make sure you're not feeding your dog anything with that.
And for anybody who doesn't know what xylitol is, it's a sugar substitute. So a lot of people who are diabetic will use xylitol sweetener to cook with. Peanut butter that is sugar-free can have xylitol. Even the yogurt will have it to make it sugar-free. But we need to be clear that xylitol is majorly poisonous to dogs. Mm-hmm. Really dangerous. And the real problem is, a lot of manufacturers are not calling it xylitol anymore. Is it
wood sugar, birch sugar?
Birch sugar, yes. So you got to kind of read and know what you're doing. I would say check the internet, but we all know that the internet is not 100% all the time. Talk to your veterinarian. That would be the best thing to do.
That would be great. So what other kind of toys do you use for teaching dogs and for training?
I love balls. Okay, let's even back up. I'm going to use a toy and talk about something that's not even food related. A lot of trainers will say, don't ever teach your dog to tug because it'll make the dogs aggressive.
Okay.
I actually like tug, but I do it kind of specifically. If I've got a tug toy in my hand and my dog is all excited, well, the first thing the dog has to do is say please. Mm-hmm. And in my book, a sit is a please. So the first thing I teach is if you want the toy, you got to sit. The second thing I'm going to do is start working on a wait command where I can show them the toy and go, not yet, wait. And we'll pause for just a minute and I'll say, okay, take it. And we'll tug for 2, 3, 4, 5 seconds, you know, and then I'm going to pull a treat out. I'm going to go drop it. And I teach the dog to trade me for the treat. Give me the toy back. I'll completely reset the game where really the entire game of tug, instead of being this out of control, crazy, you know, game where we're lifting the dog off the ground and getting them to growl and all this stuff that you see guys do all the time, is you have to say please, you have to patiently wait, you only take the toy when I tell you, and you give it back to me when I ask. So to me, if you do it right, tug can be one of the greatest games because you're teaching functional skills. Fetch, exact same thing. If you want me to throw the ball, you got to sit. You bring it back, you got to give it back to me. I might trade you for a treat. Now, let's be clear. If a dog learns to trade, give me that, I'll give you this. You've got a dog that never learns to covet or guard something. Now, there is an alpha dominance thought that I can have anything you have because I'm the human and you're the dog. I kind of giggle because I think that's a good way to leave this world with less fingers than you came in with. But it's that kind of approach that with some dogs, not all of them, but with some dogs, it would be like, if you take my stuff, I'm going to growl at you. And then we start down that road of, oh, no, you didn't. And it becomes an escalation game. And what I would tell you is then we get to that frustration and anger, and then we try to use consequence and punishment, and then we go dark side.
Right.
So if we teach them right off the bat, you're not allowed to have that, do this. Mm-hmm. You have dogs that will willingly give up anything.
Yeah.
So I'll get off my high horse, though.
That's awesome.
You know, but I think it's something that is worth teaching.
Yeah, that's funny because I have a dog, Grizz, and I can't play fetch with him unless I have at least two balls.
Yep, that's usually the way I teach the game because a lot of dogs won't bring the ball back.
Right.
So if you have that second ball in the other hand, you go, you want this one? They'll drop the one in their mouth. You throw the new one, pick up the old one, and it becomes kind of a trade game back and forth. Yep. Eventually, you can fade out that second ball. I would also say the biggest mistake I see people make with fetch is they always end up throwing the ball one too many times. Mm. So you always want to end the game of fetch on a retrieve. You want the dog to want you to throw it one more time when you quit. Right. That way the game's always new and fresh.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. What about other toys? Can you think of anything else?
First of all, we have to consider the dogs. Okay, so I have Great Pyrenees and I have a Pit Bull. And the chewing styles of those two dogs are totally different. I can give my Great Pyrenees a fluffy toy, and she will keep it for the next 3 years and cuddle with it, and it's wonderful. If I gave the fluffy toy to my Pit Bull, I would have stuffing all over the house.
Right.
So I have to separate them when they play with certain kinds of toys, not because I'm worried about how they'll interact, but if somebody ends up with the wrong toy, that toy's dead. My peers still like chewing on hard things, but you find there's a lot of toys out there now that are kind of made out of polymers and plastics and things, and they're really indestructible. Now, I've had some really interesting conversation with veterinarians over, got to be careful about how hard the toy is because we don't want to break teeth. I've even had some vets that don't like the idea of giving ice to dogs because of breaking teeth. But, you know, I think it's good to talk to your vet, talk to your trainer, you go talk to somebody at a store like yours who knows what they're doing. But there's a lot of indestructible stuff. You got the Himalayan chews, you've got antlers, you've got pig's ears. You know, for me as a dog trainer, you know, the higher value item you have, you also have to be aware. Like, I've seen more dog fights over pig's ears than anything. In fact, a lot of shelters even use pig's ears to test whether they'll let you take something, and they usually use a plastic hand on a stick called an assessor stick. Sure. If you have multiple dogs, you need to be careful of the value of the treat. And there's nothing wrong. If you've got one dog who really likes it and one dog who really likes it, we just put a baby gate between them. We use crates. We manage the situation for safety. But I would say a good place to leave this would be you can't have too high a value because then they might get into arguments over it.
Sure.
But I would be willing to bet that somebody listening to this podcast probably has questions, and this would be the great time to talk about our Facebook page, which I just want to kind of needle all the people listening to this podcast, because you just go out and say hello on the Facebook page. Nobody's really telling us what they want us to talk about. So it's a great spot for you to leave comments, leave questions, tell us topics you want to hear about, and we'll be here.
Absolutely. Well, thanks, guys, so much. Once again, this is Mike Deeth. He's the owner of Keep It Simple, Stupid Dog Training. And I'm Emery with Nature Select Pet Food of Kansas City. And we'd love to hear from you, like Mike said. And until next time.
And don't leave, because there's a nutritional nugget and a training tip coming up.
That's right.
Let's take a minute to meet our sponsors.
There's a reason why the only dry food we carry is Nature Select. It's because we feel it is the healthiest, most nutritious pet food for your pet. After 27 years, it's never been recalled and has only gotten better with time. We love it, and we know your pet will too. Free home delivery from your favorite local pet food supply, Nature Select. If you love the topic you've been listening to, remember, Mike has written tons of books on dog training, and all are available on Amazon.com. Just search the name Mike Deeth, D-E-A-T-H-E. The books are available in audiobooks, ebooks, and in print. Would you like a rewarding career in the pet industry? Maybe professional dog grooming is for you. The Kansas City Grooming Academy is the only certified grooming academy in Kansas, and our amazing instructors will have you ready for your career in just 10 short weeks. We also have financing available, so give us a call at 913-915-2543 or reach out to us at kcgroomingacademy.com. And now back to Mike.
Hey guys, it's Mike with Kiss Dog Training, and today's training tip is going to kind of fall into the idea of interactive toys. Separation anxiety is something that we've seen a real uptick in since COVID, because we've been isolating in our houses and we haven't really been socializing our dogs the way we should. Let's say you got a dog who really does not like it when you leave. Well, my argument would be that that dog knows whenever you put on your tennis shoes, or you put your wallet in your back pocket, or you pick up your purse, or you grab your keys. These are all body language to tell the dog you are leaving, and they're social animals and they don't want you to leave. So let's do a little doggy detective work, and let's think, what can we pair at the time we leave the house that is a positive, not a negative? And I'm always going to lean on food. It's why I hand feed. It's why I use Kongs. It's why I use the interactive feeding toys, because I can help counter condition and work on the bad mojo that the dog might have about anything. And if it's you leaving, this could be as simple as, let's just get the dog's food bowl ready while you're getting ready in the morning. And then I'm going to walk over, I'm going to ask the dog for a sip, I'm going to plop the food bowl down, and I'm going to leave. Now, over a period of time, that dog is going to get into the mindset of, I get fed every single time Dad leaves, so this may not be the worst time of the day. Okay. Number two, we can take it even one step further. Let's say the dog's still not interested. I could start playing hide and seek with the dog. We could feed the dog. I could still leave the bowl of food out, but I could leave the dog in his crate, and I could let him watch me hide 10 or 12 high-value treats around the house. And then right as I'm leaving, I can flip open the dog's crate and say, go find it. Now, this would be something I would have to set up and start doing before I actually used to leave. So we might just practice go find it and hide and seek for a couple of weeks and then start using it as I'm leaving. But it's another way that we can associate leaving with something fun and foody. Now, keep in mind, if you have multiple dogs, these are probably not the best ideas to do, because we don't want arguments. Some dogs can handle food being all over the place. Some can't. So if you fall into that category, let's hire a good positive reinforcement trainer. Go visit the Association of Professional Dog Trainers.com, APDT.com. Use the trainer search. You'll know you'll find a positive reinforcement from that website. And let's just do it. There are all sorts of things we can do with separation anxiety, but food is one of the first. The second thing I would recommend is talk to your veterinarian. So, some real quick ideas of things we can do with food to kind of help with separation anxiety. And if you've got any questions, leave us a message on the Facebook page. And who knows, maybe we'll do a full podcast with a veterinarian sometime about separation anxiety. Once again, welcome to 2022, and we will see you guys next time.
Hey guys, it's Emery, and I'm back with the nutritional nugget for the month. All right, so what I'm going to talk about this time is your dog a picky eater? So there are a lot of reasons why your dog might be a picky eater. Some of it could be genetics. There are some dogs out there that just aren't really that concerned about food. They just will eat a little bit here, they'll eat a little bit there. We have one dog like that. We have one dog that whatever you put down, he is going to devour it the second it hits the bowl. And then we have another one that he could free feed, but he'll eat when you put the food down. And he loves food, but it's not that big of a deal to him. So as far as picky eaters go, sometimes it's just natural, but sometimes the owners create them. How can they do that? Well, do you feed your pet scraps from the table? That is something that can really affect your dog's desire to eat kibble, or to even eat raw food for that matter. They want something that has been seasoned. They want something that has come right from your table. They feel like they are right in it with you then. But so are you feeding table scraps or even lots of treats? Lots of treats can make a difference. If you think about it, for some of the foods we carry, a 60-pound dog would eat, you know, a cup and a half of food a day, and maybe just a little bit more if they have high energy. And then if you're feeding treats, how many calories are in those? If you're giving them some food from the table, how many calories are in that? They may not need any more food. But there are some other things to think about. Are there any changes going on at home? that can affect dogs, that can make them to where they stop eating for a little bit. Are they anxious? Are they nervous? That could do it. How are you keeping your food fresh? This is a question that I ask. If people say their food, the dog has stopped being interested in the food, I'll say, what are you putting it in? Are they just leaving it in the bag and the bag's not sealed properly? Well, if that's the case, your food can get stale, especially dry food can get stale pretty quickly. So over the course of a month or two, depending on how long your food is open, your dog can lose interest in it. Then when they get a new bag of food, they'll probably perk right back up. So that's something to think about. So one thing I would say is if your dog just out of the blue has stopped eating, that may not be that it's picky. It may be sick. It may have something going on. So keep your eye on your dog. How are the stool samples? If that's all okay, then you may not have anything to worry about. But if a couple days go by and your dog doesn't eat, I would definitely take your dog to the vet. There could be a blockage. There may be something that your dog ate that just didn't agree with him. So that's something to think about. But I do recommend toppers from time to time for dogs. They just aren't that interested, especially if the owner wants them to not free feed. One thing that you can do that I highly recommend is just pick the food up after 15 minutes. Make sure you're feeding the appropriate amounts. A lot of people do overfeed, and quite often the feeding guidelines on the bags are not properly formulated. So you know your dog best. If your dog's gaining weight, you're probably feeding a little too much. If your dog's losing weight, you may need to add a little bit more. If your dog's just maintaining its weight but not eating that quickly, then you're probably doing just fine. If you want to use a topper, there's plenty of ways to do that. There's frozen food, there's freeze-dried toppers, there's broths, goat's milk, yogurt, all sorts of things that'll give your dog just a little bit more interest. And you can even use canned food, but that is one thing that I would recommend to not give your dog unless you want to always give them canned food. So that is one way that you can definitely make your dog a picky eater, is to start throwing in foods and treats and other things that your dog likes more than he likes the food. So your dog won't starve themselves. So if you're having an issue with this, I would cut back on the food a little bit. And then, like I said, pick up the food after 15 minutes. I would imagine in the next meal, your dog's going to be ready to go. All right, well, guys, if you have any questions, feel free to reach out. You can reach out to us on the Facebook page. You can reach out to me at emery@nskansascity.com, or feel free to reach out to us at the Puppy Parlor as well. Thank you so much, and you guys have a great day.
And that's a wrap on the 12-Minute Dog Podcast. Join Mike and Emery again next month for an informative and entertaining 12-Minute Dog Podcast.